But we are going to try today to record the audio, and then we're going to upload it to the website for members so that if you're not here, a lot of people travel or whatever, and you miss a class, hopefully we'll be able to have that on the website for you to catch up. So we're testing it. We'll see how today goes and if we can hear everybody and all that good stuff. James seems to think with the men it works just fine. So if you're making comments, speak up so we can hear you. So the other thing too that I just want to encourage everybody is that it has been 2 years since we've been together, and I really want to use this summer to reconnect, rebuild our trust with each other, dig deep in ourselves, and that's kind of where we're going to start today. Is kind of just introductory to our topic this year, which is maturity and growing in ourselves and in Christ. And I chose this topic actually 2 years ago. This was supposed to be our topic for 2020. We had everything lined up, right? And then the world shut down. And the reason being is that we all need to be maturing and growing. And I want to just, for me personally, digging deep, what can I do better? What are my areas of growth? Where can I push myself a little bit more? So just kind of go into this summer with that in mind of we're going to cover some things. We're going to look at some stuff today that maybe something will prick your heart of, okay, this is an area of growth that I need to focus in on. So I just encourage you to do that. Okay, we're going to start this morning. Where are you, Lily? Lily's going to open us up with prayer.
Let's pray. Dear most awesome and holy God, we praise you, we exalt you as our Lord and Savior. We thank you so much for this opportunity for us ladies to get together. We thank you so much for Stephanie's love and desire to please you. We pray that you please find this series of lessons to encourage us, to build us up, to help us to do your will, God. Thank you so much for everyone who's here. Please be with those who are unable to make it, and be with Stephanie and bless her with the wisdom that she needs, and just bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. We are going to start with as I was saying before, for me personally, I really want to work. I want to get out of this some deep self-reflection, really evaluate where I am spiritually, what my areas of growth are, where I need to mature. So I came up with these, and these are just my thoughts. I'm sure that if we were all talking, there's probably a lot of things we could add to this list as you start to grab this. But I just kind of wanted to give us kind of a base to look at different areas of our life that we can mature, that all tie into our walk with God, right? And do we need more? How are we doing?
I think we...
Is there more over here? Sorry.
She gave it to me.
Did you? Okay, do we have... Oh, perfect. Sometimes in the church, we tend to just, we know the scriptures. We go to Ephesians, we go to James, we go to all the scriptures. We need to be maturing. We need to be growing. We need to be committed. We need to do these things. And sometimes I feel like we just miss it because we don't really get into the nitty-gritty of what does that actually mean in my life every single day. It's easy to just spout off scripture that says we need to be growing, we need to be mature. But sometimes we miss the actual practicality of what that looks like every single day. So these were just some of the things that I thought about as, in my own life, of things that we could, that would just kind of start you thinking about where we're headed this summer. The classes from this point forward will be more specific to areas of, next week is about trials. Julie's going to talk about trials and how maturity in our trials. Today is very much introductory to all of these things. So I just want to get our minds focused on what does maturity look like as a whole? And Where are we headed this summer? Just to kind of, you know, start putting those things in the back of our head. So let's look at some of these things. And this self-reflection is for you only. I'm not going to ask you. We're not going to talk about what you need to self-reflect. This is just for you to look at yourself. Think about yourself. What are you strong in? What are maybe some areas that you're like, you know, doing okay here? But what are some areas that maybe I need to work on? And again, there's probably a ton more. These were just ones that were in my thoughts. So I think just the general first question of, do you consider yourself to be mature spiritually? Like if someone was just to ask you that in your own mind, again, not asking for your answer, would you consider yourself to be mature? Do you have a true relationship with God, or are you just checking off the boxes? Unfortunately, I can speak for myself growing up in the church, that traditionally sometimes is the way we do things. We check off the boxes. I did my 3 times a week. I said my prayer. I went to Bible class. I did my lesson. You know, I sent a card to somebody. Okay, doing great. But I don't really have that personal relationship, self-aware with God. I don't have that. It's not the first thing that necessarily is on my mind, right? And how does your life reflect that? Which one does your life truly reflect? Like, dig deep into your own personal life and think about that is what I'm looking for. How do you handle stressful situations or trials? Are you someone that loses their temper? Are you someone that just completely withdraws from people, right? Or are you the kind of person that you get right in there and you're praying more and you're studying more and you're with your family and you're really trying to get through that trial and use the people around you for that? Have an attitude or treat others poorly based on your mood? We've all met those people, right? That snippy or treat you differently because they're in a bad mood, right? Though to me, those are acts of maturity when you can get above that, right? So you need, like, look at yourself. Same thing with how do you treat others? Again, as I was reflecting on this, I think sometimes we get into a Bible class and we're like, we just need to love everybody and we need to just, you know, treat everybody respectfully. And all of that is true, but how do you treat them when they feel differently politically? How do you treat them when you disagree on a spiritual matter? How do you treat them when they hurt your feelings or they upset you? Maybe somebody is in a different social or socioeconomic situation than you. Do you kind of see yourself as better than them because of that? And again, these aren't things that are necessarily going to jump out. You only know that. You know it's in your head. You know how you feel, right? How do you treat people that come from a different culture? Right? The unknown. How do you treat those that maybe are struggling that have fallen away from us? Are you hard on everyone else, but you give yourself a lot of grace when mistakes are made? One of the topics we're going to talk about this summer is, are you content with what you have, and do you use your money wisely? That is an act of maturity, right? Do you serve others? Do you serve others inside the church? Do you serve others outside the church? If you're someone that maybe... it's me, myself, and I, and you don't see yourself serving others, maybe that's an area that you need to look at. Do you have a strong, consistent prayer time? That connection. Do you make time for personal study and reflection? Do you have self-control? Can you tell yourself no when you need to tell yourself no? Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you need to push yourself to say yes. Right? Do you have control of your tongue? Are you humble to admit when you're wrong and forgive others when they've wronged you? You know? Are you a part of the work in the church community or just content with being here on Sunday morning? Do you have your life prioritized correctly? Is your life balanced? Is God first, or are you running the all-American rat race? Are there changes that need to be made? True self-reflection, right? So looking at some of those, and again, I'm sure there's a ton more, think about those areas in your life that might need some attention, right? List those things out and make a plan. If you don't make a plan, if you don't stop and think about what it is, it's not going to go anywhere. We're going to talk about it, it's going to sound great, and then everybody goes on with business as usual, right? So we want to be intentional about our actions and our thoughts, and hopefully, again, use this time over the summer to really hone in on these things. You know yourself. You know your areas that you need to work on. Pick something. Don't overwhelm yourself. I just want to be the greatest Christian, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be super involved. Don't do that. That's like dieting, right? I'm going to starve myself, and I'm going to live weight. And we all know it doesn't work, right? Pick something. Pick something that's important to you that you want to focus on. Make a plan and start implementing those things intentionally, right? So that you don't overwhelm yourself. So I'm hoping that that will kind of get your mind going where we're headed, right? Because we're gonna detail out some other things, but I wanted to kind of just get the juices flowing of maturity. What does a mature woman look like, right? And then as we go through the summer, we're gonna get very specific in some areas. Okay. So we're going to start with, okay, what I want to start with is what maturity is not, okay? And I just want to let you guys know, this class will either be super short and we're going to be done real fast if I don't have participation, or we're not going to have enough. One of those two things is going to happen. So I am relying on all of you. I do not want to just speak at people. This is a class. I want to hear from you. I know what I studied. I want to know what's on your thoughts, because I'm sure that you have thought of things that I have not thought of. So please, talk. I need participation, or we're going to be done real fast, okay? Okay, so I want to start with talking about what maturity is not. Right? Like, I'll give you an example. Maturity is not about your age, right? I was just thinking to myself, like, you remember, oh, I'm going to be 18. I'm just going to be so grown up when I turn 18, right? Or when I get married, then I'm really going to be an adult. And, right, like, as kids, you constantly have these, like, points of, I'm going to be so grown up at this particular stage, right? We all know that's not true. And I'm 51 now, and I'm sure that people that are in their 70s look back in their 50s and still say, oh, there's so much room for growth, right? Like, we're always going that direction. So maturity, I'll just put out the first one, is not about your age. So what else? What other thoughts? Meredith.
Education,
exactly. Yep. One of the ones on my list too, especially in our American culture, right? That's very much valued. It's important, not knocking any of it, but it is not. Just having knowledge doesn't make you mature or wise. Lisa?
It's not about status. Mm-hmm.
That was a big one that I had on mine as well. Again, in our world, we value that outward so much, right? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of house do you have? What's your education? What do you do for a living? How much money do you make, right? All of that is like, it puts you, we're not in our mind saying, oh, that person's so mature, but what are we saying? Oh, that person has it all together. They've really got it going on because they have all of these things. And that's not usually or always the case. Danny?
Your relationship with somebody, so either your mom or somebody that you might look up to as someone that's older than you, mm-hmm. No, they don't necessarily have the spiritual maturity that you might think they
have.
That
is absolutely true. Relationships. Oops. People we look up to. Yes, and sometimes, right, that can happen because it goes back to sometimes status or the relationship that we've built with them that we
have look, expectations.
Yes, yes, and it's not there. What else, Jen?
Spiritually speaking, it's not the number of years since you've been baptized.
Yes.
I was 12 years old when I got baptized, so 10 years later I was 22, but that the 10 years didn't necessarily mean I was mature.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. Duke it out. She gets it.
I was going to say it's not necessarily about how much raw biblical knowledge you have. Like you might be able to quote scripture, but mm-hmm. you can act on it.
Yep.
That's very mature.
Yes. Yeah, that is very true. How many people do we know? They're very intelligent, can quote this stuff. I mean, people outside, even people that are not Christians can quote. That doesn't mean that they're living it out. Melissa.
I was thinking, sorry, my voice, modest for me, I'm using a mic. The culture that you're born into or the culture that you become part of.
Mm-hmm. That's such a big one, because especially, I don't know, that's been heavy on me because I just feel like so much of everything that we do is all based on that. It's just tradition and what's expected, and that, if just to be put myself out there, probably for me, one of the things that I'm focusing on this summer is exactly that, is pushing myself outside the box, right? Because I tend to be very linear. Everything is in a box. And that's really not how we need to be. So that's kind of my personal goal this summer and self-reflection, is just to kind of push my normal traditional thoughts and ways of doing things outside a little bit. So Meredith.
I would just say the roles that you play, or like the hats that you wear, like just because you are a teacher, or just because you're a mom or a grandma, or a counselor, you know, whatever it is, what hats that you wear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the ones that I had is not being able to see other people's perspectives. Going back to culture, looking at the last 2 years, right? As Americans, that is where we are at. We are so divided, and we can't even have a conversation without getting mad and upset, without being able to see maybe how someone comes from a different place and has a different thought or a different idea. And so that one was a big one for me, because we all, especially in the church, we all come from all different walks of life and different traumas in our life, different childhoods, raised in the church, not raised in the church, all of those things. And then we all come together, and we need to be able to give each other grace, hear what other people have to say, not be so defensive, think about it. Maybe there is another way. We're not always right. We are not always right. We don't know everything. So it behooves us to be able to be patient and listen to others and think about where they might be coming from, right? What else? Grace.
Jumping to conclusions.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. How many times does that happen, right? We think we know what was said or what was done, or we assume and we get mad and we get upset and we had no idea.
Along the same line, gossip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking about gossip a lot in regards to this, and just thinking too, sometimes it's not, we present gossip as this, like, and I know, kind of thing, and 9 times out of 10 that's not really what it is, right? Sometimes it's you want to share with people something that you might know, that kind of builds yourself up, right? Because you know something that everybody else knows. And you're not, your intention is not, I'm trying to defame this person or put them down. It's really more about your ego, right? What else? Anything else? Let me see if I got all of mine. Grace?
Speaking too quickly, and the reason why I'm saying that is because maturity is listening.
Yes.
Immaturity is just waiting for the person to stop talking, or
right,
just stopping them talking by talking.
Right.
That makes sense.
Two, right? Two?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay, sorry. Yes, absolutely. Stopping and listening. Jen?
It's not self-serving. We all have talents, and
mm-hmm.
I think the difference between immature and mature is immature is very quick to be prideful in those things,
mm-hmm.
and mature is, it's not about me.
Right.
It's how I can use the talents that God has given me to serve him.
Right.
And so it's not self-serving.
Right.
Or prideful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we look at these, and again, you don't have to spew out what hits you, but are there things in here that hit you? That, you know, doesn't mean that you're a terrible person. It doesn't, none of that means, but we all have maybe little things that we can look at and think, you know, I need to work on that. You know, that's something that I personally just need to self-reflect. And a lot of this is being self-aware, right? And some people don't have that skill.
No.
I'm sure you've met them. They don't have the skill to be self-aware, right? So it is something that goes hand in hand of being able to really truly reflect and look at yourself and to be able to say, I'm not perfect. I have weaknesses. What are my weaknesses? And what do I need to fine-tune?
And I think to your point, like if you're not self-aware, like how do you become self-aware?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a tricky question.
It is a tricky question, yes.
I don't think anybody in here has the answer.
Right.
But I'm going to throw the question out there. But, you know, if you're not a self-aware person, like I think we all know people in our life that we would label as
mm-hmm.
not self-aware.
Not self-aware, yes.
So, like, how do you help those people, or if that's us, like, how do we become that?
Right. Grace is going to answer this question for us.
I knew she would. I knew she's mature.
No, maturity is knowing that you're not mature.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. And, you know, it's I think it's important to realize that that's where exhorting and edifying. That's where iron sharpens iron comes from. Because you're absolutely right. It's really difficult for us to see when we're in the midst of it. And that's the reason why God gave us a family, is because we are supposed, and well, most important is Jesus. We're supposed to look at Jesus as our mirror and be willing to look at the mirror, as what's spoken in James, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not willing to look and we're not reflecting and being each other's mirror, you know, obviously Jesus is the standard, but we're also here to be able to emulate and encourage one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because one of the questions was not, I have to look at it because there's so many things in my head. Does one Christian have the right to dictate, manipulate, or manage another Christian's life? And I looked at it another way, where we're not supposed to dictate and we're not supposed to manipulate. We're supposed to be all of thee and none of me. And so when you have all of him and none of us, it's a trial, right? It's a process. But when we're willing to be together and share and be vulnerable to one another, knowing that we're safe with one another because we have one mind, which is Christ's love, God's love, not our own version of love, right? It'll make it easier, but I know it's really difficult because most of the time we want to show everybody that we're strong, that we're the ones who have all the answers. We don't. You know, bottom line is we need each other.
Yep.
Everybody has talents. Some are stronger in certain things, but that doesn't mean that we stop and we freeze. We actually should welcome, because in our weakness, that's when we're strong. That's when God's power is shown the most.
Well, and maybe just in this class again, and because we can only control us, right? So we can only look at what we can do to change. And so maybe that is, again, part of the summer, self-awareness, right? Self-check, self-reflection, you know, and fine-tuning those things that, you know, you might, because I know for me, and it's probably the same for most people, when I'm not in the heat of the moment, it's much easier for me to step back and go, oh man, I blew again, I overreacted, I thought this person meant this, and they really didn't, now I feel stupid, right? So while we're in the summer, this would be a good time to just, you know, not in those moments, just to be able to look at those things. And because I guess, you know, at the end of the day, we can't control anybody else but us, right? Right? We can control our reactions. Okay. All right, we're doing okay. Let's go the other direction. This one better. I'm gonna put this. Oh, this is terrible. Okay, we're not gonna do that part. We're gonna do okay. Okay, so let's talk about. What does maturity look like then? I had a lot more on this one than I did the other one. What does it look like? Jen.
Be still.
Oh, I like that one. Yes. I like that one. Just be still. Just be quiet. Right? Okay.
Self-control.
Self-control. And that, again, looking at the self-reflection questions, that covers a huge gamut of our life, right? It's easy to just, let's have self-control. Yep, you do need to have self-control, but in all the areas of your life, your mouth, what you do, where you go, how you act, how you treat others, all of that is that being able to control yourself and not overreact.
I want to say the new white hairs that are growing right here.
Yes.
But that's not it. But I would say the ability to take feedback and criticism.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is a tough one. Sorry. Ugh. Ability to take. That is so hard. Nobody likes to hear from someone else what they need to work on, right? But going back to some of Grace's points, one of the things that I was thinking of is that, yes, we are all here. I agree. We need to be better about making ourselves vulnerable. That means those of us need to be trusted with other people's vulnerability, right? And when you're building relationships with people, then it's more of a dialogue, right? It's more of a, and you're more apt to hear this when you know that who's saying it has got your back and cares about you, right? You've built a relationship. You can hear that better. Jen?
So then I think it's also the ability to give feedback and criticism, especially with gentleness.
Yes.
Because I think as we're growing and maturing, it's a very uncomfortable thing to do.
Right.
It is a sign of maturity to be able to do it in a way that the person you're speaking to leaves still feeling full.
Right. Right.
Not judged.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Kind of, I guess, dovetailing off that, knowing and being correct about when it is better to speak and when it's better to just keep your mouth shut.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to title that good judgment, because we don't need to speak everything that is in our head, right?
I say to my kids, that's a think it, not say it.
Yeah.
A lot of things need to be a think it and
yeah.
Not a say it.
Right, and that is a skill, right, that has to be kind of taught. You don't get to just spew out whatever is in your head. Stop and think about who you're talking to, how you're saying it, is the right moment. Maybe it's a different moment that this needs to be said. And better to side on the side of caution and just be quiet than to open your mouth when it's too soon. What else? Lots of things, Danny.
That kind of plays where my mind went just when you said, think it, don't say it, but it's also when you're thinking it, you have to think about their perspective and turn your opinion to try to understand maybe there's a positive way to be thinking about that.
Right.
So it's really your thoughts, because if you go down that rabbit hole of, yeah, you're going to think it, you're just not going to say it, but does that really help you?
Right.
No,
right.
Because it's still building you as a person.
Right. That's true. That's a very good point.
So it's,
there's still a point of stepping back and hearing someone else and trying to get it from their perspective, not just like Grace was saying, your own, just waiting to say what you want to say as opposed to really trying to hear where they're coming from, right?
And if you have that thought, how can I think Christ-like, or how can I think of it in a way that might build me in a better, as a better person?
Right. And that goes back to self-control, right?
Yeah.
Because that makes you have to be able to stop. Jeff is so good at this. When I am like losing it, and then it makes me mad, because then he does it, because he's like, okay, now Stephanie, then let me give you the other side. Let me just, okay, did you think about it this way? I don't want to think about it that way. I just want to be upset, right? But that's what needs to happen, right? You need to have that self-control to be able to step back and go, okay, hold on a second. My emotions are taking over. My thoughts are taking over. I need to step back and think about how
it's like
I can
handle. Reframing.
Yeah.
Like reframing your thought process.
Yeah.
And as humans, we're right.
Yeah, of course.
Because my thought was right.
That's right.
Because that, you know, like your thought is always going to be the one that you think is right.
That's
right. So you start actually thinking, okay, how can I think of this differently?
Yeah. And that goes back to, we can't possibly be right about everything.
Yeah.
Donna, did you know? Okay. Melissa.
Just going along with what you guys are saying, some of the classes that I've had to take for my medical school are situational judgment classes. And there's this big test you take at the end, and they give you these impossible situations, and you have to try to figure out what's the best thing. And as I was practicing and preparing for the test, it said, don't ever just say, this is what happened, I know this is what happened, because you only see this tiny little part of the situation. You see this little corner, and then you make this big judgment and you wrap it around it, and that's something that we're not supposed to do. And so being mature means using that judgment, situational judgment, and being able to determine in all situations what is the best course of action.
Right.
And that is very hard, and that takes your life of looking toward Christ to be able to do that. So it's not something you do in a day or a week or a month.
Something you constantly are working on.
Constantly working on.
Yes, absolutely. Grace?
So you actually answered a lot of questions in the beginning when you said build relationships. Because it ties back to Acts chapter 2, and it also ties back to Philippians chapter 2, which is huge, right? Because, you know, if you don't mind me reading this, Philippians chapter 2, 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And in order to do that, you have to build the relationship.
Right.
And it's not just building the relationship. What's the reason behind it, right? The reason is because it's not about me, it's about we. And that's basically what Jesus came to do, is to die on the cross for us. So how many of us are willing to take up that cross to die for someone else?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I need my glasses. Okay, let's see what we got here.
Can I add one more?
Yes, please do.
As my kids grow older, I have found
quick to listen, slow to speak, and mm-hmm. slow to become angry.
Yeah.
And that has applied in so many ways.
Yeah.
And the more I point it out to them, so for them to learn how to control their emotions,
right.
it's also to my self-awareness
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very tough.
That's a good way. And that encompasses a big portion of all the things that we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
That step back and controlling and not making quick judgments, not talking too quickly. I had on here that not making decisions based on your feelings, right? To me, that's a huge one because it's easy. We get all amped up about whatever it is, right? And we're just quick to just be, instead of, okay, what do I know to be true? Let's go back to the facts, right? Or maybe not making a decision right away because you just need time, you need to sleep. You need 24, 48 hours, right? Just to take it all in and not be making your decisions based on how you feel at that moment. That again, takes a lot of maturity. We talked about it in the self-reflection, but being able to tell yourself no, right? Or being able to know what's good for you. I thought the example that was in the lesson was about, a little boy that doesn't want to eat his vegetables, right? He only wants to have the sweets and the good stuff, right? And mom's trying to say, no, you got to eat your vegetables because it's good for you. Your body needs good food, right? And so sometimes it's just as simple as that, right? But you could apply that across the board to your spiritual life as well. You might not feel like getting up on Sunday morning and being here, but you know what? You know that you need to be here. You know you need others. So you get up and you do it anyway. And 99.9% of the time, you feel so much better that you did, right?
I think to your point, a lot of times we separate like our physical habits, like you mentioned vegetables with spiritual,
right.
But a lot of the physical things can actually be spiritual.
Agreed.
Because we should be taking care of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
This is our earthly temple.
That's right.
And so there's ways that we need to offer our sacrifice to God in physical ways,
right.
With our habits, with our body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good point about the vegetables.
Yeah. I totally related to that story. I was like, oh yeah, this one, that's totally me.
I think along the lines of maturity is to have an empathetic heart, because you don't know what that other person is struggling
yes.
with. You have no idea what their home life is or
yes.
what they're going through, and to
that
approach
is.
Everything.
I don't know how to spell empathetic.
Empathy.
I totally agree, and I think, honestly, that needs to happen way more than we give credit to. Outside the church, inside the church, just humanity in general. Like, it goes back to, I'm right, my way is right, and we don't stop and think about what other people have gone through. We're just like, everything's black and white, and there's a rule, we check off the box, and that's not how life is. Life is messy. People are hurt. People have trauma. People have hard chips in their life that are life-altering. We need to give grace to those things. Danny?
I think that what goes along with that is that when you haven't been through those same experiences, you have no idea. And so until you either go through an experience but there's still experiences that you still have no idea
yes.
about.
Yes.
So there's no way to even begin
yep.
to try and put yourself in that person's
right.
shoes.
Right, which is where that just grace comes in, is that I don't know, right? Like, I'm sure some of you might be able to relate, some of you might. I nearly died at 31 of stage 3 breast cancer. Okay? Most of you probably have not experienced that. Some of you might have. But I've never experienced children having diabetes and all of the craziness that Danny and her family goes through. I wouldn't begin to try to understand that. But I can give a lot of grace, right? Like, I can be like, I don't understand. So maybe if I see something, maybe I need to stop and just be quiet, because I might not know. I might not have any idea.
But I think with maturity comes those life trials, which then your perspective opens a little bit
yes.
and you realize,
yes.
oh, well, other people have things going on too. It might be not the same as mine.
Right.
But it's hard.
Yep. Yep.
It's hard. And then you start to go, oh, give them grace.
Yes.
Oh, and that comes with maturity in time, though,
yes.
in life.
Right. I think about that in raising kids, right? When I was a teenager, right, and you're watching kids, and I just remember thinking, my kids are never going to act like that. They're such little brats. They're never going to act like that. And then you have kids, And you go, oh, okay. It's not that easy. It doesn't work like that, right?
You don't know what you don't know.
That's exactly right. And so being mature enough to realize that you don't have experiences and everything, and to give the love and the grace, right? Which I think ties into, I had on here too, just that you value other people, right? You lift them up and you value them. Even in your disagreements, they're still human. They still have feelings. You still have feelings, right? And I just, again, with the last 2 years, I just feel like we're missing so much of this. And I'm hoping that we can slowly start bringing this back. Also tying into that too, I think part of maturity is also just exactly kind of what Danny was saying, just a little bit of a twist, is just realizing this life is so short. We are here, we're a blip on the radar. I mean, I look at my life, and I'm sure you guys can all do the same, and I think, where did 51 years go? Like, I have blinked my eyes, married, kids grown, I don't know where it went, right? And how, or just, you know, those of us that have lost loved ones, right? It's so fast, it's so quick. And do we really want to waste time on trivial, menial things, you know, or do we really want to use the time that God has given us on this earth to, you know, bless others, right? What else? What are we missing?
I think Matthew chapter 5 gives us kind of a snapshot of mm-hmm. what a mature Christian is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And it starts with being poor, mm-hmm. poor in spirit,
right.
Realizing we are bankrupt
yeah.
if we don't have God in
yeah.
our lives.
That's exactly right.
Building from there.
Right. That's very much, you know, what we're talking about in those, you know, practical, really humbling ourselves, right? And Lisa.
We've said it without saying it, but the biblical knowledge, it's more like the application mm-hmm. of scriptures.
Yep. Yep. So. Well, you all get an A+ today because we were able to get through things, and I still have two more things really quick. Okay, so do you ever arrive at maturity? Is maturity this end goal that you eventually get to? Rose.
The answer is probably no. But I was thinking with maturity comes the ability to resist temptation and sin. Mm-hmm. Things that might have been appealing early on in your mm-hmm. walk with God no longer
right.
affect you
right.
Because you should know better
right.
You know, and you're on to
right. yes.
better things.
Yeah, and not only do you know better, but it doesn't interest you anymore, right?
When we know better, we do better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So correct. Maturity will be, you know, there were things about me that I can look at in my younger years and goes, yep, they're solid in certain areas, but we're never going to get there. We're always growing, always looking. And that's probably part of the next thing that I wanted to kind of bring in is, how do you know, right? How can you look at your life and tell yourself, okay, like I see some growth. I see myself getting better, because that's that self-awareness, right? We want to make sure that we're continuing to do better, be better, know more. So how can you know that you're doing that? Because in the moment, you might question that. Is there something that you could look at that would give you an idea that you're headed in the right direction?
Can you learn from your mistakes? When you have a constant desire to be better, and every day you wake up and you think, today I'm going to be better,
yeah.
today I'm going to work on these things,
yeah.
and tomorrow,
yeah.
you know, get a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Baby steps. Danny?
When you're surrounding yourself with people that are helping you
Absolutely. Just had a thought and it went out the window. Oh, that's what it was. I have it written down. That also goes into that starting small and making a plan, right? Knowing, doing, just doing all of those things, right? I'm self-aware. I'm surrounding myself with good people. I'm continuing my relationship with God. I'm learning more. I'm getting up every morning and I'm pushing myself to be better. I'm saying yes when I need to say yes and no when I need to say no. And knowing those differences and being intentional about your decisions. Any last minute thoughts, comments? Meredith.
And I think just be kind to yourself.
Yes.
You know, I've been realizing like some of the things that I say to myself, I would never ever say to someone else.
That's right.
So when we're having that growth mindset, like Melissa mentioned, how do we talk to ourselves?
Right. That's a good point.
Because we glorify God in that way.
That's right. That's exactly right. You are valued. You are a child of God, right? You got to keep that in your memory. Okay, next week is Julie. She's going to talk about trials. Thank you guys so much. I'm so glad. I was worried. I was like, oh no.